My lesson is twice as long and I have half as much time. So we have got to move quickly. So I'll try to get it in. I would love to stop and chat at a few places, but I'm going to do my best to just kind of bull through this and see if we can get all the way through this lesson. We want to talk about divine provision and protection. Divine provision and protection. How many has ever experienced the divine provision and protection of the Lord in your life? Amen. I don't think I'm talking to a novice in this room this morning when it comes to experience the goodness of God in their lives and in their walk with God. But we want to focus on some things because sometimes, no matter how long you do something, you tend to get lax at times and you go back to old habits, right? Old habits die hard, old ways of thinking die hard, old lifestyles die hard, old spirits die hard, and God puts that new heart in us, but if we're not careful, those calluses can start hardening up again, and our mind can start drifting back to the way we used to be before God changed us, before he revealed his word to us. Amen. So we're going to look at it for just a few minutes today, and I pray that God will speak to us. Let's pray and ask him to do that. God, let your word be revealed to us today. Move upon us, anoint us to receive it. In Jesus' name we ask, and everybody said amen. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 and 6. Hebrews 13, verse 5 and 6. It says, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. We could stop right there and just make an entire lesson out of that this morning. Be content with what you've got. Amen. My wife keeps telling me, quit saying amen when you preach. Every other word you say, amen, amen. I used to hold the microphone out, and she'd say, quit holding the microphone out. So I quit holding the microphone out, and I started saying amen, because people just sit and stare at you. So I'm going to try not to say amen over and over and over and over and over again. But in order for me to do that, you've got to say amen. Amen? Amen. See, that old habits die hard. The Bible says, be content with what you've got. Be satisfied whatever state that you're in. Know that God has made a way for you, and God knows what you need. We heard about the woman with the cruse of oil and that little handful of meal or flour or whatever it was, and how God continued to provide for her. So don't be distracted when we start thinking about divine provision. Number one, that provision always means some riches or wealth. That's not the biblical definition of provision. In her case, we saw that provision was simply that the oil didn't run out. It was just enough oil to make a little bit of food to keep her through that day. I believe there's a reason why that Jesus or God provided manna on a daily basis in the Old Testament, and then in the New Testament, when Jesus taught us how to pray, he said, give us this day our daily bread. We want to come to God and say, God, give me today what I'm going to need to set me up for the rest of my life. And forgive us our debts as we forgive, right? Give us this day prosperity. Give us this day riches. Give me wealth. Make me the envy of my neighborhood, right? But when we talk about divine provision, we've got to get our heads wrapped around. I'm not saying that God won't make you wealthy. If God wants to make me wealthy, bless the Lord. I try not to say it, but amen. If you want to give me a Rolls, I'll drive a Rolls. That won't bother me a bit. I'll even give you a ride. God wants to set me up in a mansion. I'll do my best to make that mansion a blessing. But that isn't always the promise of God. He said, give us this day our daily bread. Provide for me today. God, you know what I need to make it. He doesn't always give us what we want, but he gives us what we need. God's provision and divine provision is what we need. And when God doesn't give us what we want, we act like little children and we say, well, God's not answering my prayer. God doesn't love me. Bring a little kid through the store, and when you get out, you ask them how much they think you love them because you didn't buy them this and you didn't buy them that and you didn't get them this, but you put clothes on their back, you put food in their belly, you put a roof over their head, you try to do as much as you can for them, but because you didn't always give them what they wanted, they think you're holding back or that you're not blessing or you're not providing for them. And I'm on line number 2 of 12 pages of notes, so I've got to get cracking. But this is an area where the enemy will divide the church from God. This is a sore spot when it comes to many of us. It's no coincidence that we start talking about this the week after Faith Promise. Because there are some in this congregation that made commitments out of faith. You're saying, God, I don't know where this is going to come from. So I'm giving mortgage payments and I'm giving car payments and I'm giving grocery money and I'm giving this and I'm giving that. So I'm going to need you to make a way. And we think that it's the Spirit, but a lot of times the enemy is telling us, well, if you do that, God's just going to make you rich. But we don't have that promise. But he said, I am going to provide for you. I'll give you your daily bread. Hebrews, we didn't even finish one verse. He says, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. There is divine provision and divine protection in our relationship with Jesus Christ. He has promised to provide for us, and he has promised to protect us. Deuteronomy 33, verse 26 through 29. There is none like unto God of Jeshurun, who rideth upon the heaven in thy help, and in his excellency on the sky. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms, and he shall thrust out the enemy before thee, and shall say, destroy them. Israel then shall dwell in safety alone. The fountain of Jacob shall be upon a land of corn and wine. Also his heavens shall drop down dew. Happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee? O people saved by the Lord, the shield of thy help, and who is the sword of thy excellency? And thine enemies shall be found liars unto thee, and thou shalt tread upon their high places. Look now to Philippians chapter 4, Philippians 4, verses 18 and 19. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things that are sent from you, an odor of sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need. Everybody said need. According to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And we many times reverse those two and we think God will supply all my riches. Amen. I'm trying. God will supply all your need according to his riches. We have the promise of support and strength of the Lord as we face the everyday battles of our life. He has given us his word. If we would follow him, if we would live for him, if we would follow his precepts and we go the way that he orders us to go, if we would go down the path that he illuminates for us and follow his direction, his commandments, his precepts, then we have the promise of provision and protection. It's a very interesting statistic. According to the Alarm System report, it's a real report. There are over 2 million home burglaries that are reported in the United States each year on average. A burglary of a home in the U.S. occurs every 13 seconds. Are your doors locked? It's about 4 burglaries every minute, 240 burglaries an hour, and nearly 6,000 burglaries every day in the United States alone. What's fascinating about this is that because of these statistics, we are all kind of subject to these statistics. It'll probably happen to one of us even in this room at some point in our lives if it hasn't already happened. But we'll eventually, somebody that we know of will probably face a home invasion. And according to these statistics, only 14% of homes in the United States have an alarm system set up in their house. So 6,000 burglaries every day, and only 14% of people set up an alarm system in their home. If you work for an alarm company, this would be a great time to take out a business card. Even though one of the most basic needs in our lives is the need to feel protected, oftentimes we deny that reality of certain threats, and we deny the reality that we need to be protected, or we act like that we're okay when we're not. We don't respond to that need. Man-made institutions can help protect our physical belongings, but for those things that are eternal, we need the Lord to be our protector. The FBI burglary rates of homes states that 1 in 3 homes without a security system will fall victim to a burglary, compared to 1 in 250 homes that have a home burglary system. But we think, I'll be all right. I'll be okay. It's a physical description of what's happening to us spiritually. I'll be okay. I don't need to really set up any kind of safety watch in my life. I don't need to set up any kind of boundaries. I don't need to set up any kind of safeguards. I'll be all right. I can handle this. I don't need to follow after the Word of God. I don't have to trust in the Word of God for protection, because I've got this. You could go on and even study the burglary rates of people that own firearms. They think that you're all right because you've got a gun. That isn't always true. Well, spiritually, we think we're all right because of a couple things that maybe we have put in our lives, but we're not completely following after God's plan for us. And he's trying to warn us, you need to put some safeguards in your life, or else the devourer is going to come in and steal and kill and destroy. And yet on a daily basis, we just refuse to admit, it won't happen to me. Maybe my neighbor, maybe somebody across the aisle, but I'll be all right. The chances of it happening to me are slim, but they're not. They're not. We need the Lord to be our protector. We need to be protected by the Word of God. And the only way that we can be protected by the Word of God is to follow after the Word of God. Submit to the Word of God. You could have all the guns in the world in your house, but if you don't access them in an emergency, they're not going to do you any good. You can have all the weapons in your house and none of them have any ammunition in them. They're not going to keep you safe at all. And you can come to church every week. You can come to church multiple times a week, but unless you access the scriptures and submit to them, they're not going to do you any good. And then we want to go to God and we want to fuss and we want to complain because, God, why'd you let this happen in my life? David declares in Psalm 103, verse 2, Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. We've got to understand that while it is incredible to be able to claim the benefits of the Lord as our own, and for lack of a better term, cash in on those promises, we have got to submit to his word in order to benefit from his word. Does that make sense? We can't just throw these scriptures around like there are, you know, get out of jail free card and our buy one, get one free coupon and say, well, the Bible says, you know, God's my provider, God's my this, God's my protector, all these different things. But that only works when you're submitted to the word. Because I can tell you, come on in my house and I'll protect you. And you can say, no, I'm going to stand out here in the street in front of your house. Then I'm going to say, well, then I can't do anything for you. So God has given us scriptures. God has revealed his word to us and said, if you would follow these things in your life, then I can protect you from the enemy. But we say, no, I don't need those things. I'm going to go my own way. And then God says, okay, but then I cannot protect you. You're vulnerable now because you're not submitting to my word. You're not submitting to my plan. So don't come whining and crying to God if you haven't submitted to the word, if you haven't submitted to his plan, and then you're wondering why that he's not providing for you. You're wondering why that he's not protecting you. Does that make sense? You're kind of just staring at me. I don't know if you don't get it or if you just don't like it. But it's the truth. I don't like it. I get it, but a lot of times I don't like it because I want to do it my own way, but I still want God to, you know, to do his thing. But it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. Someone say, not in my house. Works for your kids. It works for your heavenly father too. Amen. Page 2 of 12. I hope you guys have the roast on low because we might be a while. Happy Mother's Day. Scripture teaches us that the Lord will fight our battles. One of the greatest challenges to our faith as Christians is facing adversity that seems impossible to overcome. Whether we are facing coworkers who are hostile, family members who reject us or despise us, or even criminals who threaten us, we can easily succumb to our human-centered view that the situation is hopeless. Has anybody ever been in a hopeless situation in their life before? I'm not that old. I mean, I'd consider myself a young man. I know I hit 40 this year, but I'm a young man. And already in my life, I've faced enough situations where I felt that hopelessness. I felt that complete and utter sense of it's over. And I'm a glass half full guy. I tend to see the sun through the clouds. I'm typically, now you can catch me on a bad day. I'm not saying that I'm always there, but I'm typically a pretty happy-go-lucky guy. I'm pretty positive. But there have been times in my life that even my natural, you know, predisposition to be positive is it's just shaking, and I'm ready to throw my hands up and say it's over. And I don't know, God, maybe you don't know where I'm at. I don't know if I've done something wrong to deserve it. I mean, I know I don't deserve your promises. I know I don't deserve your grace, but in this case, I can't figure it out. I don't know what to do. It's done. It's over. Pack it up, shut off the lights. It's done. We've got to fight that feeling. We've got to make sure that we don't go back to our flesh and letting our flesh run the show and letting our flesh take the wheel and steer us down the wrong path, because God is working even when we don't feel him working. If you are submitted to the word of God, you can know and you can trust that God has promised us he will fight our battles. God has given us his word. If you follow me, if you submit to me, I will protect you. Even when it looks grim, even when it looks like there's no light anywhere to be seen, Forget sun behind the clouds. You feel like it's midnight and that the sun has been totally extinguished. It ain't never coming back. God has still promised, and I can still believe, even when I don't get it, if I don't understand it, I don't know how you're going to do it. I'm the type of person that immediately, when I find myself in one of those situations, I start thinking about how God could bring me through. Well, God, you can do this, this, and God, if you just did this, and if you had this person call, and if you had this person just, you know, do the, and if you could do this way, and God, and God saying, you don't have a clue, just be quiet, have faith, follow me and pray, and I'm going to protect you. Just do what I say. Just do what I say. But we want to go back to our old carnal way of thinking, and we get frustrated and we get aggravated because we don't see how God is going to bring us through. But if we adopt a God-centered view of that situation, we would know, like it says in Mark 27, that nothing is impossible with him. We've just got to convince ourselves. We've got to get into the scripture enough to know that nothing is impossible for God. He can bring us through anything and everything. Can somebody say amen? We can trust that God will fight for us and he'll deliver us if we put our trust in him. The choir sings it. We all clap our hands. We all shout about it. God is fighting for us. Woo! And then we go home, and it's like we never heard that song before. We don't know why we were clapping our hands, because at times we don't believe it. We don't believe it. But there is an assurance when I know that I know that I know. I am in the will of God. I am following the plan of God for my life. And so either his word is sure and he's going to bring me through and he's going to make a way, or this whole thing is a lie. And I've been doing this long enough and I've seen God come through too many times to know that this is a lie. I've got to trust in him. I've got to submit to him. And then I've got to hold fast to his promises. He will bring me out. He will make a way. It may not be when it makes sense to me. The choir used to sing, it may not come when you want him, but it'll be there right on time. I don't know why God does it the way he does it. Sometimes, you know, we talk like, well, he's trying to teach us something. I don't know. Maybe he is. Half the time, I probably failed that test. Forget half the time, probably a lot more than that. I don't know why God does it the way he does it. I don't know why he does it in the timing that he does it. But I know if I'm submitted to him, he will protect me. He will protect me and he will make a way for me because he is my provider. In 2 Chronicles chapter 32, we find where Judah was faced with what seemed to be a hopeless situation. The Assyrian armies had conquered much of the surrounding land and they were marching toward Jerusalem to besiege that city. And King Hezekiah of Judah called the people to Jerusalem together and he tells them, be strong and courageous. Be not afraid nor dismayed for the king of Syria, for all the multitude that is with him. For there be more with us than with him. With him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. There are some things in this life that we're just fighting against flesh. But if we have God on our side, if we are filled with the Spirit, then the flesh is no match. Can somebody say amen? The arm of flesh or human strength is no match for the power of God. Those people of Jerusalem received comfort from Hezekiah's faith and they gained confidence that they would be victorious through the power of the Lord. Taunting Hezekiah and the people of Jerusalem to surrender, the king of Assyria spoke against their God and saying that he would destroy them just as he had destroyed the other nations and their gods that were unable to save them. And King Hezekiah and the prophet Isaiah cried out to God, and he sent an angel to destroy the fighting men and the officers of the Assyrian army. And He caused them to retreat. The Lord had fought the battle for his people alone, without Hezekiah or even without Jerusalem ever striking one blow. Whenever we face what appears to be an impossible situation and it seems like that we're going to be defeated, we need to remember that one benefit of God as our protector, that human strength is no match for God's strength. And he can overcome any obstacle, no matter how large or how small. He will bring us to victory. God will provide for us, and God has promised that he would protect us. Even when the situation seems impossible, God will fight for us, changing even the hearts and the minds of those that stand against us and removing obstacles for his glory. I can remember when we were trying to move out of the apartment here. My wife and I lived on the church grounds for, it was around 12 years, 13 years. And our family started to grow. And so we said, you know, we've got to move into something a little bit bigger. And we started looking around for houses and going to different places. And I remember praying and saying, God, I don't know how to do this. How do I walk into a realtor's office and tell him I've got no money and I don't really have much income, but I need a house? And I really had to pray, because my faith was wavering, because I had felt like God had promised us, just like he had promised the church, if you give, I'll give you a church. Well, I felt like God had promised me, if you give, I'll give you a house. And so now I needed a house, but you know, there was that little, you know, sometimes the little details like money. I didn't have any, but I needed a house. And so I prayed about it, and we found a place, and it was for rent, and we felt like it was it, and we prayed for it, and we had done as much of our homework as we could, and we looked, oh man, we looked and looked and looked, and finally we found this place, and we felt like it was the will of God. And now was that big moment. I had to walk in the office and fill out those papers. And I literally had to tell him, I have no money and I don't have much income, but I want this house. And I'd never been more embarrassed in my entire life. They didn't laugh me out of that place, but I'm sure they laughed when I closed the doors. It was the most uncomfortable, one of the most embarrassing things I'd ever gone through in my life. I was confident God's going to give me a house. And I left there, and my faith was shaken. And I looked at Jill, and I said, have we lost our minds? I feel so stupid right now. And we got in the car, and I said, you know, but God's going to do something. He promised us he's going to do it, and I believe it. And I've seen it before. I've experienced before where God had done such miraculous things in our lives. And I said, I don't know why or how, why we're doing this. Man, I really felt it. My faith was like super high, and now not so much, but we prayed about it. We said, you know, God's got something in store for us. We got to the house, and in the time that it took to toast a waffle, we were dragging Milana around. Jill was 9 months pregnant, and we got back to the house, and Milana was hungry, so we toasted a waffle. By the time that waffle was done, the phone rang. And here was Mr. So-and-so from the realtor's office. I thought, yeah, rub it in, pal. And he said, hey, we reviewed some of your paperwork. We called some of your references. Do you guys want to come in this afternoon and sign these papers, or do you want to do it in the morning? And I'm on the phone like, what? I mean, literally 15 minutes ago, the guy about ran me out of the office, and he didn't even sound like the same person. And I put my hand over the phone, and I told my wife, I think he's called the wrong person. Because now, yeah, come on in. We'll sign these papers. We'll get this ready. You want to do this today, or do you want to? And so I told her, I said, don't say anything. Let's just go sign them and see what happens. If he made a mistake, maybe they won't kick us out afterwards. And so I don't know why, but we showed up that afternoon, and I sing Jesus' name, I signed my paperwork, and they put us in that house, and we've been living happily ever after. I don't know how we got it. I don't know why God did it that way, but God made a way for us, even when it looked impossible. I pray that they never review those paperwork because they'll throw us out on the street. But God made a way for us, just like he said he would. His promises were yea and amen. Didn't look like it. It sure didn't feel like it. At times, my faith had wavered in an incredible way, but God came through. And so when we experience those things, we've got to remember, if he's done it in the past, he'll do it again. And the reason why I could have faith then, and this, I'm going to shut the notes off because I'm way off, but I feel the Holy Ghost today. The reason why I could have faith in that situation is because I could remember about 10 years or so before that, we had a missionary come through. And pastor challenged people in the church to give. And my wife and I talked about it. And, you know, if you think that this is about lifting myself up, you have missed it. You have missed it this morning. This is not about me. This is about God and his promises. But God had challenged us to give. We didn't have all that much money in our account, but whatever we had, we wrote the check, and I promise you, that sounds a whole lot better. You know, we emptied our account. My God, you know, $58 or whatever it was, you know. And I say we emptied our account because it sounds so much better. I don't know. We didn't have much in there, but we gave what we had, and we said, God, we trust you. And we were having one of them freak North Carolina, you know, blizzards of a dusting of snow, and everyone had to run to the store. And so we gave everything we had. We round up a couple bucks that we could find, and we went to the store, got our milk and our eggs and stuff. And on the way home, we were driving down Clemensville Road. We were still in the apartment. And as we got over the overpass, the car just stopped. It didn't stutter. It didn't sputter. It didn't, nothing. I mean, it just quiet. And you know how quiet the roads are when there's a little bit of snow on them? So it was like quiet, nothing, dead. We coasted into the church parking lot. I had already given that check to the missionary. I felt like calling pastor and saying, cancel the check, cancel the check. We sat in the parking lot for a few minutes quietly. And I wanted to complain. Oh man, I was just aggravated. And my wife and I looked at one another and we said, God's going to bring us through. God's going to get us out of this. We didn't know it then, but for a week, there had been a family that we're connected to that had gotten together for a barbecue, a family dinner. And one of them had said, you know, the weirdest thing, God has been dealing with me. I feel like we should buy Brian and Jill a vehicle. This was a week before this happened. And the other one in the family said, that's weird. He said, God had been dealing with me last Sunday night in church. I felt like God said it so clear. You need to help Brian and Jill buy a vehicle. For a week, they prayed about it. They put their money together. The following, a couple weeks later, they had come to visit. And we're sitting in the living room. They had no idea what had happened. They had no idea that we had given what we had left in that offering. And they sat down and they said, hey, you got any plans today? I said, no, you know, day's free. We're just kind of hanging out with you guys. And they said, let's go buy a car. And I said, excuse me? You're going to drive it all the way back home? You flew here. And they said, no, God had been dealing with us to buy you a car. God's going to come through. God's going to come through. And you've got to remember those times, because if he did it before, he'll do it again. Because you're going to find yourself in situations not too far down the road where you really need him. And you're going to think, he's not going to do it. He can't bring me out of this. He can't bring me through this. It looks like it's just desperate. And you're saying, God, I don't know. Maybe you missed it. Maybe you've forgotten where I am. But you've got to think back to those times. And it's times like this that I've got to think back, and I've got to stand on the promises. My family's growing. We moved out of that apartment. We're in this house. I can't afford the house. Now I need a van. So I'm saying, God, help me. We go, and it happened before, and I'm wrapping up, Brother Herman. He's in the back. If he taps his watch any hard, he's going to smash the face on it. we need a minivan. I'm a soccer mom now. We don't fit in the little car we had. So we tried it with the house. Let's try it with the van. We go into the car dealership. I said, I got no money. I got no income, but I need a van. I promise to God. Stack of Bibles. Bring them up. I'll put my hand on it. Fill out the paperwork. He says, I need to go talk to my manager. Here we go. I can feel the sweat. Now, God's already provided for me over and over and over. And here I am sitting there. It ain't going to happen. Man, I'm going to be so embarrassed. This is the most embarrassing thing I've ever had to do. He comes in. He says, all right, we're getting it washed up for you. We'll have it on the... I looked at Jill and I said, sign the papers quick before he... So if they review my record, they're going to throw me out of the house, throw me out of that van. God made a way, but somehow we keep forgetting about it. So now God does a miracle. This was just last Monday. Thursday, we're driving that miracle van and we wreck it. 3 days later. God, what are you doing? God, you don't know where I'm at. God, you're not going to bring me through this. It was 3 days before Faith Promise on a Thursday. Saturday, on our way home from family camp, a rock comes up on the van we can't afford, that we wrecked. Now I can't afford to fix it. A rock hits the windshield, cracks the windshield. God, what are you doing? You don't know where I'm at. Now God made a way over and over and over and over and over again. And now here we are, Faith Promise. And God's saying, I've given you promises time and time and time and time again. And I've got to stop. But there's somebody here today. You're having trouble trusting in God. You're having trouble. Your faith is wavering. You're having trouble believing in God. And God is saying, I've made a way for you time and time and time again. You just think back to the times I've delivered you before and trust me, I'm going to deliver you again. You submit to my word. You submit to my plan and I will provide for you and I will protect you. In Jesus' name, why don't we stand and thank him for just a minute as we dismiss. God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your plan in our lives. We thank you for your protection, Jesus, and for what you're doing. We surrender our lives to you. Help us to trust you, oh God. Help us to believe you. In Jesus' name we pray. Can somebody say amen? Why don't you turn to your neighbor and say, the Lord will bring you out. He's going to make a way. You're dismissed in Jesus' name.